Okay, so I think that this officially makes us two for two. You know what, you guys? I have to take the small wins, okay? Like, I need to take the wins where I can get them. And I am not a person that's not going to take the small wins. I am a person that's going to write a to-do list. And if I do something that's not on that to-do list, I'm going to add it to the to-do list and then cross it off immediately just to make myself look that much more productive. If you hear a little ice, I have a little beverage, but was it in, do you ask? A Disneyland cup. Why do you ask? Well, because we have 25 days left till we're at Disneyland. Okay. And the amount of joy. Now we're getting down to Disneyland in 25 days. We don't actually go in the park till 26, but I don't even care. I just want to be in the air where I can smell the churros. I don't need to physically be present in the park upon arrival. I just want to smell those churros, okay? I just want to do all the things. Anyways, my heart is full of joy. But if you have been on social media at all lately with any of my content, you know that I've been talking about hemorrhoids. Okay. And here's the thing with this. If this is not your thing, you can skip through the next several minutes, but this is a personal beef I have with this issue. This like shame around this issue. And you might be like, "Amanda, there's no shame." No. Do you know how embarrassing it is? Or and I cannot tell you where that embarrassment comes from. It's just in the air about hemorrhoids. It's not a popular topic, but I was in so much pain. Probably, I want to say now, gosh, let's see. It was the 16th when all this drama started with my hindquarters. Okay. Like I've never dealt with. You know, I've had three kids. I dealt with this. I had my gallbladder out when I was 13. That is a long story that I just don't like that whole process. I'm just actually not ready to share about. It sounds really weird. Amanda, why wouldn't you share about your gallbladder surgery? Just because there's a lot involved with it. And I'm just not in the place where I feel like sharing, which is so abnormal for me, who's like the queen of TMI. Because I'm actually just like working through some stuff with it. Anyways, I've had GI issues ever since then. Just literally, you name it, I've experienced it. Okay. And I've done all the tests and all the sensitivity things, but out of this was the result of having hemorrhoids before I even had kids. People think that just kids can give you hemorrhoids. No, my love, GI issues will straight up torch your bum hole. Okay. And you know what? People can say what they want about this, but we're best friends having coffee. So this is exactly what I told my best friend. It is like Johnny Cash's Ring of Fire right now. What is going on? I have never experienced this. So I deal with it for several days. And then I finally call one of my other besties who's an ER nurse. And I'm like, girl, help. I'm dying. This is literally the worst. And then I learned about internal, because I've only ever had external issues. This was an internal issue. And let me just tell you, I learned about suppositories that aren't for the purpose of making you poop, because my issue is not pooping. I'll just say that and leave that there. But these suppositories help to heal and witch hazel your butthole. And you know, here's the thing with that. Like, why is that gross to talk about? I don't know. Because we have Cialis's commercials for Viagra, okay, and men issues, okay? We talk about tampons, okay? We talk about everything under the sun, but for some reason, talking about having, you know, tagalongs with other things is just inappropriate. So I am finally at the tail end of it, no pun intended. And I am grateful for that. But I'll have you know, just as I'm starting to get well, what happens? Flo decides to arrive 5 days early. And now you know my cycle. Okay. But like I said, it's just us having coffee or, you know, depending on what you're up to, adult beverage, a juice, a kombucha, a water, a whatever. But I have my special ice in my little pineapple juice in my tumbler. So if you hear that, that's what it is. But I put up my Christmas decor today. And here's the thing. Can we just like tap on this issue for a second? People get so offended when you decorate for Christmas before, like the Turkey Day, Thanksgiving, fall, all those like in between vibes, right? Okay, but here's the thing. I don't want to pay for triple decor. It is not that I don't enjoy family time, giving thanks for the things we have, celebrating, being with people, that family time. It is not that I don't enjoy that. It is that I don't want to pay to put a cornucopia and some pumpkins and leaves out when I've got really great Christmas decor that's really going to feed my soul, that the Christmas tree can be lit up all night. So if I wake up and can't sleep, insomnia issues, I can just go sit by the tree So I can walk down every morning and see it. It's not that I'm skipping a holiday. It's that I just don't feel like paying for it. Now, if leaves and wreaths and all the cornucopia fruit stuff is your vibe, because I guess, I don't know, that's how you decorate for fall. I don't know. Cute squirrels and foxes. I don't know. That is awesome. I love that for you. But I am just tired of people being super annoyed that I decorate for Christmas when I just want my decor out. You guys, like, I'm not an interior designer. I do not decorate all year round. My house is not decored, okay? Like, I have some things here and there that I've put out at Target, but, I mean, I have friends that their homes are chef's kiss, beautiful. You can tell that the pottery is coordinated with the fake fig plant that's in the corner with the frames that are all just, like, I mean, on point, okay? And one of these days, I am going to frame some photos that I didn't print off my printer and put in Amazon frames. That's going to happen for me. I don't know if 36 will be the year, but miracles happen, okay? Miracles happen once. Okay, did you guys all see the Halloween costumes? The Princess Diary Walkman costume this year blew my mind. I don't even know why. I'd never seen that. But everyone who was being Mia, I loved it, okay? Princess of Genovia's, it was beautiful. I loved that. We had a great Halloween, lots of candy, lots of fun. No incidents, which is always great. As an allergy mom, check that off my list. I had teal buckets this year, which was super awesome. And so many of the people that we trick-or-treated with were really cool about it. And they were like, oh, a teal bucket, I've got gummies. You know, and I'm like, thank you. God bless you. So yeah, and I don't decorate for Halloween because I'm only going to decorate for Halloween if I have like cutesy stuff. I'm talking like Mickey, Minnie, Disney, little ghosts, little stuff. Like my sister-in-law has a sweet setup. I love her home. But then at the same time, I'm like, do we both need to decorate like this for Halloween? I like your house so much better than I would probably like mine. So we'll just come to yours and enjoy all the beauty that is your decor, right? But again, like the scary stuff, having dated in a toxic relationship in the past, a person who loved nothing but horror flicks, two years of my life was spent watching movies like Saw. So I really just don't enjoy the gore of it all. Give me a little Peanuts, Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. I'm here. Sign me up. Ding, ding. Okay. But otherwise, catch me putting out my Christmas decor early because I like my decor. I don't skip seasons. I just decor differently. All right. But things are turning around currently for us. I did break my nail this week, but I'm already planning the design that I'm going to get this Thursday. And I'm kind of excited about the vibe that it's going to have. I still do not know what I'm doing for Disneyland, you guys. I started an Amazon storefront this week. Look at me. Look at me. I was like, you know what? I love like to know it and its essence, but it's just really like Amazon's so easy to do stuff. And I get a lot of questions about like vitamins that I give the girls or things that I do with the girls or like, you know, hemorrhoid medicine things. And so linking all that there has been fun and just learning how to navigate that. So that was very exciting. I asked you this week about subscriptions on Instagram, and personally, I hadn't planned on doing them, but I will tell you what, the response was passionate. The response was passionate. Okay. People were intense. All right. And here's the thing. I wasn't looking at it as like a money grab. In my mind, I was like, oh, okay, if somebody really wants me to do some like special stuff, I'll charge like a dollar and then we'll repurpose that money. And I'll once, you know, by the way, once you get paid on that, because they usually have like a 90 to 120 day like net payment on that. So people might be like donating and that you don't get paid on that till like 60 to 90 days after. Anyways, I don't know how it works, but I was like, oh, I'll just like charge a dollar or whatever you have to charge and then repurpose that and like buy gifts for our community or do gift cards for our community. But everyone was so passionate about the unlove of it. I'm like, why am I going to take time to do that when we like the podcast and TikTok and Instagram? Ooh, wow. Hi, am I a 13-year-old boy going through puberty? Instagram? I'm kidding. Anyways, hold on. So that's what we're doing. We're on the upswing with hemorrhoids. I have never loved the word lidocaine so much in my life. My Christmas decor is up, which is actually really beneficial for me from a work standpoint because this is when we start filming holiday campaigns. I've already filmed one. And it's so nice to have that up and not have to think, oh, wow, I got this, you know, because sometimes with holidays, there's a short turnaround. And it's like, oh, I got this and now I got to quickly, you know, film this with no decor. Anyways, we've been catching up for 9 minutes. I wanted to tell you about something that happened today. while decorating that sparked this idea that the opportunity to build trust with people, tiny humans in your life. Oh my gosh, you guys, how unprofessional are we? Wait. Welcome to the After Hours with Amanda podcast, the podcast that's for everyone and anyone. And we talk about all the things parenting at top of mind, because I am a parent and we're going through it and journeying through that. But here's what I wanted to talk about. The idea of building trust that creates an environment where your tiny people want to come to you. And it is built in the smallest of ways, and it is broken in the smallest of ways. And here's the thing that I'm learning about trust as I'm navigating this. Trust can be broken all at once. Or as a parent, it can be broken in tiny little fractures with your tiny person. Now, I know as a parent, we can be like, oh, don't break trust with me. I'm not talking about what our children do for us and how they have to earn our trust. I'm talking about how we should be really motivated to earn theirs. Because here's the beautiful thing about trust. Trust creates an environment where communication is present. Because if you trust someone, you're going to talk to them. And if you don't trust someone, you're not. And here's the thing that I'm learning. Just like you have a crack in a windshield that starts off very small. I have one in mine right now. I got to call Safe Light. And now all I can think of is the Safe Light jingle. Anyways. Like a little pebble when you're driving along on the freeway, we've all experienced it at some point or had it happen. A pebble flicks from a truck in front of you unknowingly, unexpectedly, and it cracks the windshield. Does it crack it big? No. Sometimes it just dings it enough to create a little fracture. But over time, if you don't fix that windshield or put any effort into it, such as I have not mine, it continues to splinter across your windshield. Now, see, my greatest fear from being a generation of watching the Destination movies, right, is logs rolling off on the freeway. Or I just think of that worst case scenario where eventually that windshield cracks all the way across and just shatters in my face. Because I've thought, you know what, I'll get to it. It won't go further. It won't go deeper. It's not going to come through the glass. It keeps cracking across the surface. It's just a tiny fracture. That one little pebble can't do much. That one little pebble, that unexpected thing that happened, I don't need to address it right now. And I want to tell you what spurred this on. We were decorating the tree today, okay? And here's the thing with me. Every ornament to me carries a story. They're very intimate to me. I don't decor a tree up, okay? I'm not color coordinating stuff. When we bought our tree 12 years ago when we were first married, we went to Home Depot. I bought a Martha Stewart packet of coordinated ornaments for the tree of 100 and some odd ornaments. We've had that since then. On top of that, we have added our own ornaments. Blake has a couple from his just childhood that he wanted. I had a couple from my childhood that I wanted. And we built upon that, buying ourselves them for holidays, buying each other them, buying the tiny people them, and so on and so forth, right? And people buy them for the kids, right? So they know they're special. They travel somewhere, Nana, Papa, you know, whoever. They gift the children an ornament. And these ornaments are important. They represent places and people and memories, sometimes core memories, and they're special. And today, when we decorate the tree like we do any year, I let the girls pick where they hang the ornaments. Now, I try not to get it all in one giant patch. I try to say, oh, let's move it up a little, but I do not tell them exactly where to place that unless it's like a glass one. And I'm like, let's not put that at the top of the tree. So if it falls off, it shatters. I talk it out with them. Hey, maybe we should hang that one in this area that way. Oh, okay, great. But I like to let them do it. I participate with them. You know, it's a family activity. Okay. But I don't like to tell them where to put it. So, oh, the pineapple juice at Trader Joe's, 10 of 10. Anyways, so I go upstairs today and I say, you guys, girls, I'll be right back. Keep decorating. Be careful. I've got to pee. And I'm upstairs in my bathroom peeing. And all of a sudden, I hear, you already know what I'm going to say. I hear a shatter. Not a drop, not a dip, not a plastic, a shatter, a popping. And in my mind, my immediate thought is, oh, dear golly. Oh, jinkies. Okay. I'm thinking, great. What broke? And as soon as I'm thinking that, I immediately, and this again has come over time of just me being in my own head, because when you're parenting, it is exhausting to try and be empathetic first. Okay, it is, because you have to really be present of mind to not let your emotion or your trigger pop off. So I could feel myself getting, and I grabbed inner Amanda back. I said, get back down. Hold on a second. What is that tiny person going to feel like coming up to tell you? Because I know my girls. That happens. One of them's going to start cleaning, which I do not want them to do. It's glass. The other one is going to look at the other one and be like, who's going upstairs? Because they love their ornaments. But most of all, they're going to be nervous, right? Like anyone would be. Like I would be if I thought I broke someone's ornament. So I paused. And I thought, no matter what they do when they come up that stair, no matter what ornament has been broken, because over the years, y'all, I can't tell you the amount of ornaments my tiny little people have broke, okay? And yes, I teach them about it and stuff, but it's little things. They accidentally, it's not like they're purposefully doing this or we're not doing something that's age appropriate. Accidents happen, okay? I have a 9-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old. I have a 36-year-old and a 35-year-old in this house, okay? It breaks. Things break. Anyways, so here comes up the tiny queen and she looks at me and she goes, Mom, and I look at her and I say, hey, it is okay. Are you okay? What's going on? Another one comes up. I tell that one to go downstairs, tell the other one to stop cleaning. I don't want anyone touching anything. Back away from the area. And then I look at this sweet human being and I say, it is okay. Do you need a hug? Now, this does not make me a perfect person, because inside I'm still like, oh God, is it one of mine? Is it one of mine? Like, I, you know, but the sadness that she felt, because it wasn't mine, it was her sister's. And she was devastated that when she had hung it on the tree, when she had put it, she hadn't hung it on the tree yet. She didn't want to hang them. They didn't want to hang them until I came down. So they were gently unpacking them. And when she set it on the counter, she turned to look back at the movie they were watching and her elbow knocked it. And it was what we call an accident. Nobody is at fault. In that moment, me looking at her going, well, were you looking at what you were doing? Well, of course I know she probably should have pushed it on the corner, on the counter more. Of course I know she probably should have focused on what she was doing and not tried to double watch the movie. But that doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is, instead of hiding it from me, instead of them, you know, coordinating their story, they came to me. See, in all that I do, as a human being, I am thinking, I just want you to talk to me when you're 16. I want you to talk to me when you're 12. I want you to talk to me when someone says something mean to you at school. I want you to call me when you make a mistake. I want you to talk to me if you get in a negative relationship, if there's a friend being cruel to you, if you're being picked on, if you're scared about grades, if you're stressed about mental health. I want you to talk to me. So I can't meet you right now with anger and frustration and condemnation. I need to meet you first with, hey, oh, I'm so glad you're okay. Oh, hey, I'm so glad you told me. Because when this pebble hits my windshield, if I address it right away, I stop that crack from spreading. But if I ignore it and go straight for the fact that, oh, this pebble hit my windshield, great. Well, good, great. Okay, well, now it's broke. Well, the windshield's broke now. And that's my focus. I'm not going to be able to repair a fracture. And with tiny humans, they're so impacted by our words. It's so crazy. They need so little from us, yet it means so much. And what I mean by that is not, oh, what do you mean they need so little from us, Amanda? They need food. They need this. And I'm constantly, no, I'm saying that need, that sitting with them, that hugging them, that reassuring them. They need these things that are free. And what do they not need other things? No, of course they need other things. Okay, so don't hear what I'm not saying. But what they need from us most builds the strongest foundation, and it's usually free. Trust, acceptance, love, empathy, lack of condemnation. Now, we went downstairs. I cleaned up the ornament. I got them out of the way. They all offered to help like the sweet little human beings they are. And obviously, no, it's glass. You're not helping. I love you. No. And then after I looked at her and I said, hey, when you were putting the ornament, were you a little distracted? And she said, yeah. I said, hey, so next time, best case scenario, move the chairs out of the way so you're not reaching over one. And when you put it on, push it way back so it's safely away. So if you do bump it accidentally, it goes not off the counter, but maybe just a little forward. And I'll tell you, I always question myself because it always, like, I'm always even just sad if they're nervous to come to me. And one of my tiny queens said, well, you know, mom, it's not that we're nervous because we think you're going to be mad. It's nervous because we're upset at ourselves. And that makes me feel a little bit better. But trust is so crucial because, and I've said this before because this analogy I love so much is you're building a boat. You're building a boat. And when you build a boat, that boat is docked in the harbor. And when that boat is docked in the harbor, being you, you keep that boat safe, right? You keep it secured. You keep it tied to the dock. You create a stability for it, right? And I personally like to think of us as this safe place that they can always return to, right? And when they're out there, I like to picture that my dock has a lighthouse. So if they ever feel lost, and again, these are just my insights in terms of what I view as myself as a parent, take it or leave it. But I view myself as this lighthouse. So if they ever are out to sea and feeling shaken, they look for the lighthouse and they know that dock is there. But here's the thing. What do we do, right? When we feel like we're doing all that and yet they're hiding stuff. Do we shame them? Oh, you're trying to be secret? Are you lying to me? Well, to each his own. For me, if my tiny people are unwilling to talk, right, or tell me something, I always say, what are you afraid of? Or you think I'm going to be disappointed? Do you think I'm going to be upset? I will never stop loving you. That's not up for grabs. That can't change. So that's not something you need to be fearful of. So what is it? And I like to ask those questions. There have been some times when the girls are nervous to tell me something. So I always tell them, I offer them a couple options. I go, you can hide your head in a pillow and tell me. You can come and I'll hug you and you don't have to look at me. And again, these are little things, but here's the stuff. The little stuff, it builds to big stuff. And if you're met with anger first, you're going to recoil, right? You're going to go into defense protect mode. And that crack in the windshield is going to just continue to go because we're going to put it off because kids are resilient, right? Kids are resilient. It's not a big deal. And here's the thing. A lot of times, no, kids, yeah, they are pretty resilient and stuff, but it doesn't mean that they don't have that feeling that stays with them that they don't want to have again. See, the weird thing about the crack on the windshield is it just seems like it's surface level. And it is. It's on the top of the glass. But breaking the top of the glass, it will make it weaker. Building trust with them is done through communication. It's done through body language. It's done for reminding them for no reason at all, oh man, you know, I totally messed up today. I love doing this with the girls. There's one thing that I actually really do love doing with the girls is just telling them how many mistakes I've made in a day. I will pick them up sometimes and I'll be like, you guys, do you want to hear what I did today? You're not even going to believe this. I don't say screwed the pooch. I don't say that to them. I go, I totally missed the mark. I forgot this. I dropped the ball, you guys. I dropped the ball. Oh, I was so annoyed with myself. But you know, here's the thing. I here's what I did. I called the person. I said, hey, I'm sorry. I totally forgot. And you know what's cool about it is because we're building that relationship for tomorrow, not just focused on the today. they will, in the middle of it, say, "Mom, it's cool. We all make mistakes. Mom, no, it's okay." Even Corey, my four-year-old, will say the sweetest stuff. She was reading a book last night, and I have it on video. And you guys know I have countless home videos that I could share, but we don't, because I respect the girls and I respect these special memories that we have that are just ours, right? I respect my own theology of, if you don't want your joy stolen, don't share it. And there are some things that are just special that I don't, but it was really sweet. Corey was reading, right? In her version, she's reading this book, The Aristocats. And what that means is looking at the pictures and interpreting what she thinks is happening, right? And so she's reading the book. We're in the room and her sister Paige gets up to go to the bathroom and she stops reading. And I go, "Oh," and she goes, "I'm going to wait for Paige." I said, "Oh, you don't have to." She goes, "No, it's okay. I want to. I want to be kind." And I just looked at her and I was like, "What?" It's like, did you just unprompted? Because for a four-year-old, now granted, girlfriend will still go for the last gummy. Okay, so don't, this is not like she's Mother Teresa up in here. But to watch her say, "No, I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I'm going to wait. I want to be kind." Seeing that action as kind, recognizing that would be the kind thing to do. That to me is a win. See, because my goal is not blind obedience with stuff. My goal is not do as I say and do it right now and do it the first time because I said so. I want those emotions and those things to be your own, which is why I don't love the idea of forced apologies. And people always get so pissed about this. It's not that my children don't apologize. It's that when I deal with them in those situations, I don't go, "Say you're sorry right now. Apologize to them." I say, "Hey, how would that make you feel? Oh yeah, doesn't that, what could we do in this situation that might remedy what's happened here? How could we make something, right?" And let's be real, Daniel Tiger, saying I'm sorry is the first step. Then how can I help? Okay, like get real. Daniel Tiger wrote the book on this. Mr. Rogers wrote the book on this, okay? This is nothing new. But what I want to create is the desire and the prompting in inward, that internal thing, right? Because here's the thing. It goes back to even this idea of integrity and honesty is what you do when nobody is looking, right? Sure, a kid can be honest if they think they're going to get in trouble. Absolutely. Oh my gosh, look what I did. But if they know they're not going to get caught, is it the same thing, right? And all little kids are like that, right? They have an inclination, right? Oh, they might say no. Maybe if I just really quickly, right? So when they do sneak it, I always say to them, "Why? Why would you do that? Or why would you feel the need to do that? Well, I thought you were going to say no." "Okay, well, you didn't ask me." "Even if I was going to say no, what's the issue?" "Maybe I was just going to say not no, but not right now." Right? I love telling my girls that. I didn't say no. I didn't say no forever. I just said no, not right now. Not right now means now is not the time. So no. Let's find another time. This is not a closed conversation. But trust is built through these different acts of conversation. And I think that the reason that it gets so hard to build with them when they're teens is we spend so much time telling them what to do when they're little that when they get older and we're still telling them what to do and not really honestly conversating with them and we ask them to share, they don't want to. We spend so much time when they're being rude when they're little telling them to go to their room that when they go to their room in their teens, we tell them they spend all their time in their room. We spend so much time telling them what to do and how to make decisions that when they become teenagers and they don't know how to make a decision, we ask them why they follow what their friends do. "Well, if Johnny jumped off the Brooklyn Bridge, would you do it too?" Because the trust isn't there. The trust to say, "Ooh, I actually am not sure what to do here." Instead, we say, "How would you not know what to do? You don't know what to do. You're 16. You should know what to do by now. You know, I blah, 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 blah." And truly, it is breaking this cycle and really going against this idea that you are not in control. People always want to say that. It's so irritating to me, truly. People want to say that if you're not the alpha, very evidently that you've failed as a parent. No, you've just failed as literally being a dictator. And that might feel really strongly worded, but here's the thing. It is breaking a cycle for me to not just say, well, it's because I said so. And let me tell you, there comes a point where you're like, I don't even know anymore. I have no answers. Like, I don't have to say because I said so, because I just tell the girls, like, you need to trust me in this situation. That's what I tell them. When they keep asking questions and people go, well, I'm so tired at the end of the day, they just keep asking and asking. I look at them and I say, I need you to trust me in the situation that I know something that you might not know. And if you've built that trust, they're going to believe you. They're going to believe that. Because here's the thing. People want to say, no, my kid wants control. They want to feel like they have autonomy. Yes, of course, they're going to push back. In a world where you're told what to do, you're going to absolutely push for autonomy. That doesn't change because, see, we don't grow up, you guys. We grow old. We're still the same people we were at whatever age we stopped growing emotionally. Whatever age your inner child stopped growing, that trust was broke, that's kind of where we get stuck. At least in my experience is what I'm learning. Where the biggest impact of event happened was where I was stunted. And that experience was really hard because when my oldest hit the age that I experienced one of the most impactful things in my life, her and I kind of had this weird season where I would get really irritated with her because she triggered me because her life now was not what mine was. And I kept thinking, no, you need to know. And I realized you can't project onto her. She doesn't need to know these things. Your experience was different. Be blessed that hers is different. See it as a beautiful win. See it as a huge opportunity, a gift for you to continue to prolong this beautiful innocence of mind, this wonderful life. But people want to make it all about a power struggle. And when you're in a power struggle, trust is not going to be built. Imagine you're dating someone and every time you start to talk with them about something, they want to win the argument. At some point, you're just going to quit talking because you know you can't win and you can't trust that what you tell them is not going to be used against you to win an argument. Because here's the thing. If you look at your kid and you tell them, if you be honest with me, you're not going to get in trouble, and then you punish them, you're a liar. So don't make a promise you can't keep. My dad and mom used to say, don't write checks with your mouth that you can't cash. And it sounds crazy and it sounds aggressive, and I'm not trying to be, so don't hear what I'm not saying here. But what I'm saying is trust is built in everything we do, and we are not perfect. I tell my girls just a minute. I tell them I'll do something this week, and I don't get it done. Like right now, oh my gosh, here we go. I don't know how to make brown food dye coloring or whatever. I didn't even know where to buy it. I'm supposed to turn in Play-Doh tomorrow to our preschool. I love making the Play-Doh. I signed up to make it. It's my favorite. But I don't have the brown food coloring. So I'm going to show up tomorrow at drop-off and be like, hi, I didn't know what to do about the brown food coloring. Is there a way to make it? And I'm sure there's a way to make it. Now that I'm thinking about it, I wonder, no, that makes red. Yellow and orange make red. Anyways, but I'm going to show up and I'm not going to have done that. And I said I would bring it. I'm breaking trust with somebody. So obviously nobody is perfect here. I'm not saying that I'm just like the most trustworthy person my kids have ever met. My girls will tell you, oh no, mom forgets stuff. But they trust that I'm doing my best because at every point I can, I remedy it. At every point I can, I apologize. At every point I can, I make good on what I'm going to do. Because I understand that the smallest pebble on the surface with the smallest fracture over time goes across the entire windshield and can go deeper and can splinter and can go off. And eventually that windshield will not withstand a big impact. And when a big impact comes, you want to have the trust there. And I say this is for parenting, but this is for relationships too. I think it can be especially difficult. And I deal with this a lot too, because when Blake and I get in a disagreement, which we do normally as normal people do because we're different human beings. But see, here's the difference here. We're always working for a solution. I always want to resolve it. I'm not concerned about being right, but do you know where I do struggle? I concern with it not seeming as if I did my best, as if I don't care. And when in any time Blake will say, I didn't mean to. And I've had to learn that regardless of what my intent is, what Blake is experiencing, it deserves value. I can't just be like, oh, well, I wouldn't have if X, Y, Z. No, girl. No. Because here's the thing about Blake, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. There, one thing that I recognized when we were dating that he did, that he still does to this day, is you could be in the middle of a disagreement with Blake. And if he realizes that he is incorrect, if he sees your point of view, if he will immediately stop and apologize to you. Dead ass, just boom, middle of an argument. You know what? You're right. And you're like, huh? Like, you're all geared up. You're like, I got my stuff. I got my argument. I'm ready to go. Let's go. I've got this. And he's like, no, you're right. And he's not quitting. He's not being condescending. He's not patronizing you. He is legitimately telling you, oh no, actually you're right. I'm wrong. And for me, because I hate failing, feeling like I failed the people I love, because to me, that's my greatest desire. I don't want to fail people. I want to be there. I want to show up. I want to be that person. When I have to, and I do apologize, but in a moment with Blake specifically, when he's telling me I've done something and it's very hard for me to see what he's saying, it's hard for me to stop. I have to tell myself, Amanda, you need to hear what he's saying. You're not being the bigger person here. You need to admit that you did something and you are wrong. Because if he's going to show up for you in that way and he's going to do that, you need to be willing to show up too. And that's the way it has to be in relationships. And I think we need to see the interactions we have with our tiny humans as relationship building moments. See, because so often the parent-child dynamic is subordinate, right? That's how it's viewed. People can say what they want. That's how it's viewed. And that is why I think it is so hard for us to cultivate adult relationships when they grow up. You spend so much time telling them what to do, you never stop. I don't care if people think that I'm a kid's friend. I honestly don't give three shits. I don't care if people think my kids are too opinionated. No, listen, I am building a relationship with human beings. They know I'm their mom. They know that I have the majority of the power in this relationship when it comes to bedtime and stuff like that. But they know that I'm not doing that out of a power struggle. Because you want to know a conversation, this is how it goes. I'll tell the girls, hey, you know that I'm not doing this just because I want to be in charge. I will straight up say that. This is not a power struggle. Because at the end of the day, y'all, I tell them this because at the end of the day, you're not 18. You're my responsibility. And so people are going to look at me and think I'm the one who wants to be in charge. But I want to do this for your benefit. I give you this bedtime so you can rest. So when you go to school tomorrow, which is required again, you can show up to class and not be tired and not get in trouble and not feel sick to your stomach and be able to play. This is not because I want to be right. This is not because I want to be in charge. This is because I want to help you and I want to do what's best for you. And I need you to trust that. And if you don't, I want to understand why. Because here's the thing, you can have conversations with your kids. You can have conversations with the tiny people that you were raising so they learn to have conversations. I will enter into conversations with the girls like today. The two tiny people were interacting. One of them said, what was it? Oh, one of them wanted to get the other one a gummy worm. It's so funny. They're little things like this. Twin snakes. We had the twin snakes out. And one went up and they were like, I'm going to have a twin snake. And the other one ran up was like, I want a twin snake. And they're like, here, I'll get it for you. And the other one was like, no, I wanted to get it. And I looked, I said, hey, we don't need to do that. You're spending so much energy right there. Here's what you can say. Thank you so much for offering it to get it. I would like to get it myself. Because I want to teach them how to communicate. I also this week saw this video that I thought was so impactful. And I've said this to the girls in different ways, but never heard it this way. And I shared it with them. And it was the fact of the person asked the question, growing up, were you ever told what emotions were or talked to about them? Well, yeah, I knew what happy, angry, sad, but what was their purpose? And I was like, mind blown by this. I thought, oh my gosh, that is absolutely true. We can teach our tiny people what emotions are. We can teach them when those situations arise, what those are like, but do we ever teach them what they're? Well, they're a superpower. They help to identify things. Furthermore, in some situations when we have fear, that might be a great warning sign for us to be aware. In other signs, it might show us that we need to be bold, right? We need to conquer something. But they're superpowers. They're not weaknesses. And I thought this was so impactful because when trust is not there, fear is there. Fear is what accompanies a lack of trust, okay? And anger shortly follows fear, which is why we have so many people who are like, my teen's so angry. Yes, what's going on? Anger just doesn't happen. And when trust is present, there tends to be more communication and there tends to be more peace in terms of ease. I saw this again, another great meme. Said, teach your kids to be nice to other kids at school. Not all of them have a happy home to go home to. God, that literally, it gutted me when I read that. I'm going to say it again. Teach your kids to be kind to other kids at school because not all of them have a kind home to go home to. And to me, to think of a tiny human going home to a place that they don't feel safe and they don't have trust and they feel unloved destroys me as a person. And that's why for me in our house, in this environment that I have an impact in, I feel the greatest thing that I can do is build trust with them. And that kind of takes away my desire to be approved by other people. It takes away my desire for people, the lessons that I'm teaching the girls, the things that I talk to them about, the things that I share, I could care less about other people's opinions because that is not my goal. My goal is to create three tiny people. And by create, I mean impact, help, develop. Three tiny people that will go into the world and continue to do that and love people well. People that will go into the world and their first motive when they see something won't be to send it to a friend and gossip, send it around and chit-chat about it. Their first instinct will be to reach out to see what's going on. Their first impact won't be to think of how unfair. I always tell the girls there's no such thing as fair. It's not unfair. It just didn't go in your favor and that's upsetting and that's allowed. But if you go to class and your sister goes to class and one kid has a birthday party and they get a sucker for the birthday party and your class didn't have a birthday party and you didn't get a sucker, it's not unfair. It stinks. Absolutely. What a bummer. Ew. I hate that. Absolutely. But it's just you're upset about the situation because you didn't get what the other person did. And that's fine to be disappointed, but you can't be upset about it or angry in terms of thinking it's unfair because it's not. Instead, be excited for them because your day will come. There's nothing wrong with being disappointed, but getting angry because you think you deserve something that somebody else has out of sheer fact of them having it, that doesn't sit with me. But trust is built. And trust is broken easily. But it doesn't mean that it can't be rebuilt. See, I think sometimes we get so daunted by the fact that we're at a certain point in something or we've broken too much trust already or it's over for us or it's not worth it or our time has passed. There is not a day that you are living and breathing on this earth that it is not right on time to do something different. There is no such thing as too late. There is only such thing as not going to try at all. And just because you try doesn't mean it works. But just because it doesn't work doesn't mean you shouldn't try. I think that if I do anything, if I impact one person to treat their tiny human differently, to create a relationship that cultivates communication and trust, that teaches your kids that it is not about power and it is not about control, but it is about trust and it is about reliability and it is about development. If you can teach them that's what you're there for, if I impact that in any way, God bless America. That makes me so happy. Because I think oftentimes people are scared to have kids. Oftentimes, I know for a fact people are scared to have kids because I get this DM at least once a day because of the way that they were raised, because they don't know any other way. There are so many other ways than you were raised. The scary part is realizing that you're going to have to do work on yourself to do it differently. That you're going to have to break cycles. That you're going to have to break those cycles and you're going to have to be in control of yourself. That breaking the cycle means doing more work on yourself than your tiny people. And that at the end of the day, after all that work, your kids still might need therapy. I will happily pay for all of my tiny people to go to therapy and talk about what I did or didn't do so they can continue to break whatever cycle. because I am not a perfect parent and I will mess up and I do mess up and I'm going to. And I'm going to miss something. I wish I wasn't. I wish I could get it right where I thought that I could prevent stuff. But I'm not going to. And at some point, they're going to encounter a situation that I can see playing out. But I won't be able to project what I think is going to happen. And I'm going to have to trust them. Do you know the scariest thing in the entire world? I get choked up talking about it. It's thinking about having to rely on my tiny people when they're teenagers and stuff. And I'm excited for this season for their life of being with their friends and having that autonomy of going to a football game. But we went to our local high school's football game and all these teenagers, they were having the best time. And the most beautiful thing that I saw happen at the snack bar, I swear I could have cried so many times it happened. It was beautiful. Kids who didn't have money came with friends who did have money and they didn't ask for anything and their friends offered to buy them stuff. And then I saw some other unsavory situations happening, right? And I thought, one of these days, my tiny queens are going to be here and it's going to be a good thing. And I'm not going to be hovering. Okay, I'm not going to be doing that. But I'm going to have to trust that they're going to be okay. That when they get in a car with a friend, they're going to be okay. That if they go to an event with someone, they're going to be okay. And I'm going to have to trust them like I asked them to trust me. And that is probably the single most scary thought, because my parents used to say, it's not you we don't trust, it's other people. And that's the truth, truly. But it doesn't mean that there's not a pit in my stomach thinking about not being present. See, because when you're in the thick of it, right, and you've got little ones and you're taking care of all of those essential needs, you think, I've made it. They can do it on their own. They're going to the bathroom. They're making breakfast. They're getting snacks. Yes, functionally, they're taking care of themselves. But that is not the work that really begins. The work that really begins is when you're not there, when they're at school all day, when they're with friends, when they're encountering different people, when they're being asked to do things or not do things or try things or not try things. And the trust that you have built will create the dock that they can come back to or the one they sail away from. And that's not meant to be a scary thought, but it is meant to tell you that the single most important thing you can do is not start with anger, but start with questions. Meet with love and use your ears. I tell myself all this time, I say this to myself in my mind, so don't get mad at how I'm going to say it because I say this to myself. Use your two ears and do not run your mouth first. Because as a parent, the inclination is to immediately correct, condemn, and deal with, right? I'm going to correct this behavior by condemning what they've done, and we're going to fix it and turn it around. But I have always tried in the last few years, especially as I start to get an older one there. She's 9. Ugh, and it goes by so fast. And every time I say that, I throw up in my mouth a little. But communication beats condemnation 10 out of 10. Okay? And you can correct with communication. It doesn't have to be condemning. Because when the pebble hits the windshield, you want to make sure. Now I really got to get my windshield fixed. You want to make sure that you're aware of that crack and you address it. So when a big impact comes, you have the ability to withstand it and keep everyone in that car safe. So that is my big chat. You know, it's funny. I love this podcast so much. I love doing it so much. And yet some nights when I think about sitting down and chatting, I just become overwhelmed because there's so much that I want to share and there's so many things that I want to tell the impact that I want it to have. So you can build the relationships that you want, whether tiny humans, friendships, or whatever. I just want to hug you all. One day, how cool would it be? I've seen some people go on tour with their podcast. How cool would that be one day? That's what we're going to do. We're going to say it right now. I'm going to claim it. I'm going to claim that one day we're going to go on the road. And I'm going to hug every single one of you wonderful human beings. Because if no one has told you lately, you are loved. You are worthy. You have exponential and limitless potential. Say it again. Exponential and limitless potential. You are needed. You are valued. I am happy you're here. And if you need me to say it one more time, I love you so much. I'm so grateful that you're here. I'm appreciative of your listening. I hope that you have the most delightful morning, afternoon, or evening. And until next time, friend, I love you.